If you have your Bibles with you, you can turn to Matthew chapter 19. And we'll be looking at that today. Just one moment. Oh, you going to have that? Oh, okay. Good. Matthew chapter 19. We're going to look at that starting around the 16th verse. Now this particular passage, or this story that we're going to look at today, is about the rich young ruler, and it has in two other gospels, the book of Mark and the book of Luke. You can also find this same story as they saw it in telling it in Mark chapter 10. Verses 17 to 22, and Luke chapter 18, verses 18 to 23. It tells of the same incident. And, you know, I thought about something that once I heard Jerry say when he was teaching the class. When you see the same thing more than once, more than twice, you think that the Lord is really trying to get you to listen and pay attention. It's like when our parents used to tell us stuff, and they would tell us things more than one time. Sometimes they would tell us, how many times do I have to keep telling you? Because they want you to get it. They want you to remember. They want you to understand. In this instance, we see this story in three of the Gospels. So it draws my attention to the fact that it must be very interesting or something that we should take to heart to remember, take notice of. Now, if I was to have a title for this lesson, I guess my title would be Jesus Told the Rich Young Ruler to Keep the Commandments. And those would be what I would use as a title, but basically it's what we have is just a discussion. But hopefully we can draw from this and learn something from it, as Jerry said, and it will help us in our everyday life. Now, in this, I'm gonna run through this right quick. This from the 16th to the 22nd, 23rd verse. So we'll be familiar with this story. I'm sure you all are familiar with it, but just what the scripture said, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. Starting at verse number 16. Now, behold, one came and said to him, "Good teacher, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life?" So he said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." And he said to him, "Which ones?" Jesus said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and come follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Assuredly I say to you, that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Now, at first glance at this story, we see in Matthew, this young fellow comes to him, and as it is stated here in Matthew, that he was a young man. I think in Mark and Luke, it tells that he is a rich young ruler. And he pays homage or respect to Jesus that let us know that he knows something about the scriptures. And he considers himself to be a religious person. And he gives Jesus the respect by calling him master. And Jesus immediately corrects him and tells him that there is no one good but God. And we sometimes, and I say we as people in general, and I say we sometimes, not necessarily refer to any one person, because we all are a collective body. And I can't say anything to anyone that doesn't apply to me first. But it has been times that people will look upon other people as in that particular time. You see a person that you consider good because as you look at them, you can't pick out no particular faults. You know, some people you consider, oh, that guy, he's nothing but a drunkard, or saying about a woman. Even if they change their life, some people still put that tag on them, regardless of how long they live, and their eyesight, they'll never change. They was always that particular person. Especially if someone do something wrong, they go to jail, or I remember when. Regardless if he changed his life, people still look at him for whatever that wrong that they see. But when we look at people, and we don't immediately see anything wrong with them, and we know that they do what we consider good things, we say, oh, they are good people. And especially if they go to church, definitely good people. We don't hear them cussing, or we don't see them get agitated. We always see them doing good things, helping folks. We label them as good people. And if they are prosperous, we feel like God is blessing them, so they find favor in God's eyesight. So we tend to assume that we know they're going to heaven because they are a good example. And we ourselves try to pattern ourselves in that manner, to do good things, to do what the Lord says, and project ourselves as a good example of what the Lord will have us to be. Sometimes we can kind of like let it go to our head and think that, yeah, we doing the right thing. We're on the right path. We on the road to go to heaven. We know we're going to heaven. Or at least we assume or we think that, and we pretty much feel that way. That was a common thing in that time people had, that if a person was like very prosperous and they were doing these good things, that they assumed that they were on the right road and they too were going to heaven because God was smiling on them. That's an assumption that we make as humans. That's why Jesus told the rich young ruler at that particular time, the first thing, why do you call me good? Because there's no one good but God. God's standard of good is what he gave them in the Ten Commandments. And he gave them, well, we know them as the Ten Commandments, but he gave them commandments to live by, for to do what he wanted them to do, to keep them in the path of righteousness. Now, like us, we follow what we know to do as what is right. And we do our best to do that. We know we're human, we know we're going to falter, we know we're going to fall. We have the avenue of prayer to go to repent. At that time, they had to go to the priest. But yet and still, their perception of what is good is what they believed it to be, not so particular of what God wanted them to be. And Jesus told him, you have to follow the commandments. Because he wanted the rich young ruler to know what God's interpretation of good was. Now, when Jesus told him to follow the commandments, this young man told him, I've been doing that all my life. Which let us realize that he had some idea of what it was to live a religious life. He knew about the scriptures and he knew the commandments. So he felt like, I'm good. And I've been doing this all my life since I was a little boy. If this is what I've been taught, I'm good. Jesus had to let him know that that is not necessarily what your opinion of good is, not the same as what God's opinion of good is. And Jesus told him six commandments right off the bat, because the young man said, I've been keeping all the commandments all my life. He felt like he was. I mean, he, like anybody else, probably admitted that, well, how do we say, I know what the Bible says, but, oh, I know the commandments, but, you know, under certain circumstances, we have an opportunity to, or we feel like we have an opportunity to kind of bend the commandments a little bit. But our intentions is good, so that means that we still good. But Jesus told him six right off the bat that you should do. And he also added in there, love your neighbor as yourself. And I think it's in Matthew chapter 22, around verses 35 and 40, that Jesus told some Pharisees that the first commandment is to love the Lord with all thy heart, all thy
strength, and all thy soul.
Yes, all thy strength and all thy soul, which means same as all your mind, all your heart, all your soul. Love the Lord. Put the Lord first. And second to that is love your neighbor as yourself. If you do that, that covers all the rest of the commandments pretty much. So Jesus told this young ruler the same thing. You know, you have to love your neighbor as yourself. He still felt like, I got it covered. No, I'm good. Because I think the rich young ruler, and this is my opinion, I think because the rich young ruler felt like he was doing this all his life, that I pretty much know that I'm all right. But I just wanted to be extra sure to make sure that I'm not missing something. So he asked Jesus this. And when Jesus tells him specifically what he needs to do, he might as well took a knife and stabbed him in the heart. It's just an expression, so to speak. But it definitely hurt him because of the fact that he had wealth. He didn't want to part with it. If you love your neighbor as yourself, then whatever you see that your neighbor needs, you don't mind giving it up. Even if you had to go without. Well, of course, we don't have that problem with our children. You know, because that's our children, right? You know, hey, I love my children. I'd give them anything. You know, I'll go without for them. But my neighbor, sometimes that guy can be a handful, you know, and this is the first thing I think about. If I see him in need, he needs it, I need it too, you know. But if we love our neighbor as ourselves, we don't mind giving it up. And how can we say we love the Lord if we don't love our neighbor? Now, Jesus brought this point out to this young ruler. And he didn't even realize the fact that he had this fault. We sometimes are the same way. We know we're not perfect, but yet still, when the obvious presents itself to us, we want to try to kind of bend it, slide it to the side a little bit. Any kind of way we can squeeze our way around it. We can't change it. We can't go over it. We can't go under it. Then we just gonna go a different way to avoid, to keep from confronting it. Because in order to confront it, I mean, we gotta make a change that we don't wanna make. And that's a whole lot. And it cuts. It hurts. One of the big things that people in general have to deal with is forgiveness. Hard thing to do. It's even harder to forgive relatives than it is to forgive people in the street. You have a hand?
I was going to say, when I read that, the first thing came to my mind that something that Russ said, be careful what you ask the Lord for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the second thing to me was that he didn't trust enough in the Lord to see him through.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Jesus, to me, was trying to point out to him, we as humans, we're not perfect. Because he said, if you want to be perfect. Because he already knew that this young man had a hard time parting with his wealth.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a faith issue and something to attain that of our own, we as humans can't do.
Right.
You know, it takes Jesus to make us perfect before God.
Mm-hmm.
We can't do it on our own. And I think by pointing out, give everything you have, this was something that he couldn't do.
Right.
You know, of yourself, you can't be perfect.
That's right. That's right. And I was coming to that too. That's a good point. No, that's a good point to bring up, because as we see in verse number 23, the last verse, Jesus tells his disciples, because after Jesus said how hard it is, the disciples are like, well, dude, who can make it? You know, that kind of hit home with me. After I made the decision to follow the Lord and turn my life around, and Bevan's brother at that time, Michael, used to preach at Jeff Street, and to me, he was a good man. I actually saw him take his coat off to give to someone else. Because they commented, hey, brother, that's a nice coat. He said, you like this? Yeah, he took it off and gave it to him. No, I was just saying. He said, no, I want you to have it. You really like it? You know, go ahead. I'm good. And that struck me, you know, because I've never seen nobody do that before. He would go out his way to do things for people and wouldn't charge him anything. I witnessed that. Like I said, in my eyesight, he was a good person.
Yeah.
Now, to me, when I read this, it made me think about him, because if he didn't make it to heaven, I feel like I ain't stand a chance. You know, when you see someone that is good, and your interpretation is good, whether it be your mama, your daddy, your sister, your brother, a relative, a friend, a preacher, or a deacon, or an elder, or a neighbor, or anybody that you consider, oh, yeah, they good people, man. And I've heard people say, oh, yeah, man, he's good. He'll take his shirt off his back. Or they'll go out their way to help you. And you look at them, and you say, yeah, man, anybody going to heaven, I know they are. But then you think, if they don't make it, where do I compare? Where do I fit in? And that's what the disciples felt, I think, when they said to themselves, well, who can? Who can make it? And Jesus let them know that with man, and you said, you can't do it, because we're human, we're going to fall. But with God, all things are possible. So we have to go to God as our Savior and turn our lives over to Him. Did you have your hand?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's that reliance.
Mm-hmm.
The rich young ruler is relying on his own money. It's the reliance on God that you can do anything.
Yes.
But we as humans struggle relying on something we can't see, feel, or touch.
Mm-hmm.
And that rich young ruler knew he had his riches, and he knew he gave it up. He didn't know, he couldn't rely on anything else. He had to rely on God.
Right. That's it. And depart with his riches. Especially, like I said, maybe some people that he didn't want them to have, you know. And, you know, we're not supposed to covet either. But aren't you coveting if you don't want nobody else to have no more than what you have? You know, not so much so as you want what they have, what they got. But you got to say, you don't want them to have no more than you. You know, it's all right if they got a little bit less than me, but no, they can't have more than me. Not as hard as I work. You know, not everything I do, they can't do better than me. And not knowing it, we tend to have that feeling, because we fail to realize that just like the Lord provides for us 24/7, every day, all day, the devil is out there 24/7, every day, all day, putting ideas in your head, trying to make you go off the path of righteousness and make you feel like you shouldn't have to feel. Did you have your hand?
I was going to say, too, you know, it also brings to mind the story in the Bible about the man that had a bumper crop. What am I going to do with this? Well, I'm going to build another barn and put it in.
Mm-hmm.
And God said, you foolish man, you know, you gather and you save all this and you have all this. Can't take it with you. So, you know, tomorrow your life will be required of you. So who's going to get all of this stuff to begin with?
That's right.
We, as human beings, we want to scrimp and save and build up and do all of this. And it's just stuff.
That's all.
We can't take it with us. So isn't it better if we take some of this and bless somebody else with it?
That's right. That's right. That's what we're supposed to do. As you said, we come in this world with nothing. We take nothing out. You know, but if we have it and the Lord provides what we need to live, that is a blessing. Yes. Well, go ahead, and I'll get you next, Paul.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, as he goes on, I hope I'm not jumping, but when we rely on God for everything and be willing to give it up and remember that all things are possible with God, he tells us that he's going to bless us with more than we can hold. Our cup will run over.
Yes.
We will have more. We'll have more sisters and brothers in Christ. We'll have more people to help us. We'll have more to be able to give. And like our benevolence boxes, they're overflowing now. We need people to give it to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but as long as we rely on him and him alone for all that we do and always ask for his blessings in everything that we do, he will bless us.
Yes,
and
he will.
And I know we'll stumble and fall. I know that we'll have issues, we'll have troubles in our life. But as long as we're putting him first, he will bless us more than we can handle.
Yes, he will. Very good point. I'm going to come back to that in a second. Paul.
For my understanding, my setting, and my own experience of having things and losing things, the thing that comes to mind again in the scripture, Jesus said, he who loves the world more than he loves me is not worthy of me.
Mm-hmm.
And he also said, still store up your treasures in heaven. So these earthly things that we have been taught or accustomed to treasuring don't mean nothing.
That's right.
Because I've had plenty and it was miserable.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a little and was joyful, felt free because too much, just giving much is required.
Yes, it is.
And I will tell you something. I've never found peace, joy, contentment, and satisfaction in things.
Mm-hmm.
But when I got tapped into the Spirit of God, that's when I found true freedom.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if he loved that stuff so much, he didn't want to turn it to, he was already in there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true.
But Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me.
Yes.
So that means the old nature, old spirit, the old thinking must die that the new can be risen.
Mm-hmm. And we do. Mm-hmm. Very good point. Just want to touch back on the point that you had, Kathy, that the Lord will always provide for us. Now, we can't make that mistake because the Lord blesses in us. Look what I got. You know, I got this. We see people that need, but, you know, the Lord blessed me with this, and he meant for me to have this. So I'm enjoying what he blessed me with. The more we do to help others, the more the Lord is going to bless us. But that is not for us to keep in store up. As Judah said, I'm going to build more bonds, build more houses, go put money in more bank accounts. So that I got so much. It's not for us. It's for us to work with to bless other people. Mm-hmm. That is our purpose, to bless other people with what the Lord bless us with. then we are doing the work of the Lord. But if we start storing up, it's not going to last.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, you know, you have to take an example from Paul.
Mm-hmm.
When he says that in all things I'm content. I'm content in plenty and I'm content in want.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be content in where we find ourselves. And not, God did not intend for us to struggle like crazy. We put that burden on our own selves.
Mm-hmm.
To constantly work, to save money, to... What does it take us? It makes us sick. It gives us anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not what God intended for us. He said to be content in Him. So wherever we find ourselves, we need to learn to be content in.
Yes, yes, we do. Yes.
And my father, when he was saying that when he had so much, he was miserable. I bet this guy was miserable too. When you think about it,
yeah.
Because he had it all. So if he had it all, he should have been content, and he wouldn't have come to the Lord asking, "What else do I need to
exactly.
do? What else do I need to do?" He must have been out of his mind. I've got to be on top. It was making him sick, and sure enough, he walked away.
Yeah.
Man, I have to give it up.
Because his
faith,
as we brought up, the faith is not strong enough to, what am I going to do when I don't have this?
Right.
You know, I got to have this much to live. I got to have this much to take care of everything. God will provide, but we don't have the faith that God will provide. You was going to say something? Okay. Well, that's what we need to have. We want to make out.
They want to say that we spend a lot of time getting a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it really doesn't do anything but pile up.
Yes, it does.
Probably end up getting rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
God has blessed me. Yes, I am truly rich. I mean, I had all the money and finances.
Mm-hmm.
But God has put something on me with Him and His Son. Just think about it. God and His Son created us.
Yes.
Then His Son came down here and died for
us. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's not true love. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, you mean it is.
And,
yeah.
And He is the greatest teacher
mm-hmm.
that I've ever heard and read about. Because He doesn't cut any phones with anybody.
Right.
He tells it like it is. That's what I like about the Jesus that I serve.
Mm-hmm.
It took me a little while. All these 47 years.
Okay.
Since I've been in the church. But I am so thankful. I thank for my wife and all she does for me. Day after day. You know, God said He's going to create a helpmate.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
I know exactly what He meant. And these folks coming here, mistreating their wives, and slapping them around, and beating them up.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, God wants you to respect the wife.
Yes. It's a
my
union.
My family more precious than the jewels. I call them Proverbs. I like that.
Amen.
So, we need to uplift the people that do for us
mm-hmm.
and not cut them down.
That's true.
But I am so thankful for the great God of heaven.
Amen.
Who has brought me this far.
Yeah. As we stated, the Lord will provide.
Yeah.
And He gives us what we need. A lot of times we want other things, but when we put our trust in the Lord, what He gives us is going to come out better than everything we wanted to start with. If we try to work it out and make it happen the way we think it should be or the way we want it to be, It's going to mess up. There's going to be a flaw in it. But when we pray to God, turn it over to God, say, Lord, I need this. I need your help. Can you take care of this for me? And I'm counting on you, and I'm depending on you, and I'm waiting on you as patient as I can. And when it all works out, you think to yourself, I know it's going to come out like that. The Lord makes it work the way he wants to do it. We just need to have the patience for it to come out. Now, one other thing I want to bring out, as the world, as we live in this world, materialistic world, that is part of our nature too, an environment in which we live, that we get from this world, that you got to go after everything you want with enough gumption and gusto to get all you can get in this little bit of time we have called life. Why? Because the world teaches us nobody's going to give you anything. Man, what did we just finish talking about? The Lord will provide. Doesn't he give us? That's contradictory to what the world teaches us. But we're looking at material things. Yes.
Give us.
No, the world teaches us that we have to go get everything we want. We have to have the gumption and the finesse and the zeal to go out and get everything to work for, to get everything we want, because nobody's going to give us anything.
Right, but God will provide.
But God provides.
The world's not
going to
hand us it.
No, the world does not give us anything. The world teaches us that we got to go out there and get it for ourselves. The word of God lets us know that God will provide for us. Just like he provided for the Hebrew children that left out of Egypt, he brought them out of Egypt. They didn't make it to the promised land on their own. It's because God provided. He provided what they needed to eat, what they needed to drink. When they saw the enemy coming, he took care of the enemy for them. He even parted the Red Sea so they could cross. They actually saw miracles even before they even left Egypt. They saw the miracles with all the plagues. But he provided everything that they needed on their journey, and they still complained because they weren't satisfied. You know, well, we were doing better where we were at. If you were doing better where you were at, why did you leave? When God said, prepare yourself, and when the time comes, we're going to leave. If you feel like you were doing better, why didn't you stay there in Egypt? But you left, depending on God to provide everything. And as we today do, when we don't get things as fast as we want it, then we think, oh, God don't hear me. I've been praying and praying and praying. He don't hear me. Until we get backed up to the wall, we can't figure out no other option. We don't see the light of day. We don't know nothing else to do. Then we humble ourselves enough to open ourselves up enough to pray to the Lord, Lord, please, please help me. And then the Lord opens up a way for us. And then when he does, what do? Just like the Hebrews. Man, I'm glad I made it through that. What did you do? I made it through that. But when you was up against the wall, you was pleading to the Lord to help me. That's what I mean. The Lord provides. The world is not going to provide nothing but strife. Strife, persecution, hardship. We had a lesson on that once before. We call trials and tribulations. That's what the world provides. You know? Y'all understand what I'm saying? Isn't that, you get it? When we put our faith in the Lord, because he's still going to test us. We still going to have trials. But we have faith in him. He will open up a way for us. In his time, we have to have patience. We have to have patience. You understand that?
We just can't sit there and expect him to hand it all to us.
No. He's not. Yes, we have to do some work. We have to do our part. You know, we have to do that.
Amen.
Yes, I'm sorry. I know you had your hand right back.
Scripture say, if you don't work, neither shall you eat.
Right.
It just comes straight up.
Mm-hmm.
The scriptures tell us what we need to do, how we need to be, when we need to do it. Like, it gives us everything that we need to know how to have that relationship with God, understand our place in that relationship with God. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And then, of course, we'll be far better
off. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I was going to say, you know, works alone are not going to get us into heaven.
I was just coming to that. Go ahead.
Work.
Yeah.
But now I think works done because of our faith will produce fruit.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it takes both.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you don't have enough faith to do what's right inside of God, and that God will take care of you, then you scrimp and scrape, and you put the burden on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of put the burden on God. You know, it's a vicious cycle that we as humans go through. You know, I want this, I gotta work overtime, and the neighbor just bought a brand new car, so I need to go get me a new car. And it's, why?
Mm-hmm.
Why do we put these burdens on us? Because, first of all, we are selfish people.
Mm-hmm.
And second of all, we don't have enough trust and faith in God to provide us with what He thinks we need and be content with that.
You said we put it on ourselves, but we also feel like because we have done this, I've done so good, I've been keeping the commandments, I've been serving the Lord. In my opinion, I've been serving the Lord because I do this and I do that. Then I deserve to get this. So where is faith? Faith went out the window. Because I feel like I deserve this. I go to work every day. I go to church every Sunday. I'm there every time the church door is open. I serve in the church. I pray to God. I give to the poor. Isn't that the way Job felt? That he was doing good? So all he want to know is, why am I being punished?
Mostly people say today, you know, I work for what I got.
Uh-huh. Yes.
You might have worked for what you got, but if God hadn't blessed you with it, you wouldn't have gotten it.
Where did you get the strength to go to work?
Yeah.
How did you wake up every morning to go to work?
Yeah, exactly.
Where did you get that transportation?
All this goes back to God and the blessings
everything
that He gives us.
Everything.
But in every TV commercial today that you see, the keyword is,
oh, yeah.
Yes. That's the world. Didn't I just say what the world gives you? The world gives you a reason to want to put this on yourself to get more so that I can present myself as somebody that somebody needs to look up to, give me some respect because I got this. Not that God gave me, but I got this. Why? Because I would. Why? Because you deserve it. You got a comment, Paul?
Yeah, and I had an experience in life one time. It was about me, I thought. And I was working for the city of Petersburg, and I was working at a gas station at night, and I was selling marijuana, and I just thought, these things are going to bring me what I needed. And I could never get nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until I surrendered to the real God, being a penny.
Mm-hmm.
It's the free gift of God.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I don't care what I do in this lifetime. He told me grace will get me.
Same thing with you.
The only good thing I want to do is my heart ain't there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not kidding.
Now, one other point, what you was striving for, everything you was trying to get, what was it? Material gain. That's going to do what? It may be here, but you won't. You know? It may be here, but you won't. But in time, the debt too is going to fade. You know, it's going to rot out. This last point, and then the lesson is yours. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. As you touched on, you and Paul brought up. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. That's grace. That's what God gives us. We work and we do everything and we feel like God deserves to bless me. I deserve to have this. There's nothing that you can do, no how much work that you can do and call it good and call it in the name of the Lord is going to put you in heaven.
Amen.
It's grace. And that's through Jesus Christ. So I hope you all got something out of the lesson this morning. And that is my lesson. That's why Jesus told the rich young ruler to follow the commandments. It is so hard to follow the commandments because no one is perfect. But we strive to do what pleases the Lord so that we will be better each day. And in our faith in Christ will give us what we need is salvation and spend eternity with Christ. That is my lesson. Hope everyone be blessed.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good lesson.